Blog Talk Radio.
We're now tuned in to OPM Live, where the ordinary is the extraordinary. I am your host, Verna V. Nickelberry, and tonight on the show we have Mr. Andre Peachtree, singer, actor, producer. Are you on the line, sir?
Yes, I am. How are you doing?
I'm doing great. How was your day?
It was great. It was great. It was an eventful week. My mom just had a knee replacement surgery, so it went well, thank God. So she's on her way home today. I'm making sure she's good.
Okay. Praise God. Praise God. We're so thankful for that. You sound a little tired. So we won't take up much of your time since we know you're having to get through the show as much as we can. If you don't mind, if you can tell our listening audience a little bit about yourself and what you have going on and whatever that you would like to share at this particular time.
Okay. Well, again, I want to thank you for having me on your show. My name is Andre Peachtree from Beaumont, Texas, a native of Beaumont, Texas, also a graduate of Prairie View A&M University. I've been singing and acting pretty much all my life. I was 4 years old, started singing in the church, and just really pursued my career. I had a great support with my family. Mom and Dad, been married over 40 years. I'm the oldest of three boys.
That's a blessing.
Yes, and so, like I said, I've just been singing and playing sports, and this is something that I wanted to do all my life. So I was given the opportunity to do it, and I just continue to pursue it. You know, God has blessed me to work with some amazing just talent, you know, from Tyler Perry to David E. Talbert to Mars Chestnut to, you know, Clifton Powell, Kim Whitley, Monique, is just so many people. So I'm very, very grateful for the journey and everything that's been happening throughout my career.
Can you tell us how, I do read in your bio, I do see that you've worked with some awesome people, but can you tell us how it got started? How did you feel? You know, when it first happened, your first play, I know our listening audience is definitely curious about those things.
Well, I, like I said, I started singing at the age of four. My dad used to play music all the time. My mom said even before I was born, he would play music to put me to sleep, you know, and just calm the situation. And I would, he worked for the post office, so I can remember he would go to work and I would dig in his albums, and my dad was very strict and decent and in order. So I had to make sure I put everything back the way he had it so he wouldn't know. But what I would do is I would listen to all his, you know, some songs. You know, he had everything from Sam Cooke to Donny Hathaway, Jeffrey Osborne, you know, and then he had his gospel collection. And I would listen to songs, and it was one in particular. It was, I think, Jeffrey Osborne's first solo career, when he went solo. I don't know if it was the LTD album, but I listened to this one song called Greatest Love Affair and We're Going All the Way. And here I am, 4 or 5 years old. I couldn't read it because that's when they had the lyrics inside the album. So I memorized the song, and when he came home, I performed it. And I just remember they would put me in front of the family, and I would just perform and my middle brother, we're 5 years apart, so I would dress him up and put on, you know, little productions and stuff like that. So all of that birthed everything, and that's just something I was doing throughout my whole life. You know, my first play was at, I think I was in the fifth grade at Our Mother Mercy Catholic Church, and we did this play called Family Tree. And like I said, when I sing, I'm very dramatic. So it's almost like when people say, you know, you act as well, I'm like, for me, you can't sing something unless you believe it. So that's me. True. When I sing it, you're going to believe what I'm singing so it can come across so you can feel where I'm coming from. Like, every word that I say means something because, of course, I write most of the stuff that I perform, you know, and I study the greats, you know, like, you know, Marvin Gaye, Luther Vandross, Sam Cooke. I study all the greats. I watch how they prepare and, you know, just the showmanship because I love to put on the show. You know, some of your greatest artists, they have a show. They don't need all the lights and the pyrotechnics and all that stuff. They can stand there and just their voice is, you know, incredible. So I watched all of that, and I just took a little bit of, you know, what I saw and just made it my own.
But isn't it wonderful how God prepares us even at such a young age?
Right.
And I'm a firm believer of divine order, and nothing is ever happenstance. I really, truly believe that. You say you started at four, but he was preparing you all the time. You didn't know how to read the lyrics, but just listening to it.
Right.
And
I could hear something, and it would just move me. It could just move me. My mom told me that I was a quick learner. She said I learned how to tie my shoe at 2 years old. Like, they would show me something one time, and that was it. That was it. One time, and I would do it.
Mhm. But that's how God works. It don't, when he puts you on a path and he starts prepare you for it, it's just everything seems to fall, not seems to, but everything falls into place. And
right.
That's what's so wonderful about having that personal relationship with God. And not only that, but just being obedient. Now, had you not, you know, paid attention to the lyrics or, you know, what you was doing, you know, you would have been off the path. But staying on the path that God had presented to you, even at such a young age, and now look where you are, and being
I had a praying family, like my grandmothers, you know, everybody. It was nothing but prayer around me constantly, and still is today. You know, my mom always emphasizes prayer, prayer, prayer. She said, Andre, prayer changes things. It helps, you know, because we just buried my dad a few months ago, so it's been a rough several months for our family because we lost three major pillars in our family, from my dad's closest brother to my grandfather's brother, all within a year's time. So all of that, you know, the prayer and just the strong family upbringing has really helped me, you know, throughout this time. It's a very trying time for the family, but, you know, we all have to go someday. We all got to go.
And my condolences to you and your family. I do understand that I lost my mom in February, so I definitely understand that. So
my condolences
to you and
to
your
you
family.
As well. Yes.
Thank you so much. I see you was nominated as the NAACP Image Award Best Male Lead in a Theatrical Play. Were you surprised when you received that honor?
Yeah, because I when I do things, I do it because I love it. I have a passion beyond belief, and it has, in some instances, I ain't going to say hurt, but it just made me aware of how things, and I tell people all the time, when you love what you do, money does not matter because all of that stuff is going to come. But then when you realize how temporary and short things are, then you don't base it off making money. You do it for the love. Because if you don't love it, especially in this business, you're not going to last long. So I was very, I was just very grateful and shock, you know, because like I said, I put in a lot of work, but sometimes when you know, you don't know what God is going to do. He's always
absolutely
up to something. Always.
Absolutely. And how is it to work with, how is it to work with Tyler Perry?
It's incredible.
Is it?
Because I've watched, you know, when I worked with him, he was shooting a movie at the same time he was working with us. He was directing two plays and flying to Detroit to shoot Alex Cross at the same time. It was amazing. And it's like, you know, I watched that and I'm like, wow, I'm on the right path because I'm a multitasker. And I'm exactly like that. You know, everything was on point. The people he had working for him were on point. So everything was just decent and in order. And like you say, when it's your time and God has his hands on it, then everything just flows the way it's supposed to. Because we had a great cast. And he didn't have to do much with the cast. Like, it wasn't a lot of changes. He just had to come in and say, okay, I like this, don't like that, fix this, boom. And everything flowed. Like, the chemistry with everyone was great.
Ooh.
It was a great experience.
Kind of, I guess, of course, just watching him on stage, quiet and reserved.
You said as far as work with him, with Tyler?
Yes. Uh-huh.
Yes. Yeah, it's almost like, you know, when it's time for showtime, it's time for showtime. You know?
Mm-hmm.
And that's pretty much how I am. You know, when it's time to work, I'm ready. But other than that, you know, depending on the environment that I'm in, I'm pretty low-key. But when it's time to do my thing and them lights and cameras come on, it's like I'm ready. I'm always ready because I'm always working behind the scenes, always. I stay in the gym. I stay prepared. I'm always writing. You know, I take some of the stuff I've dealt with, and when I hit that stage, that's when everything just comes out. Whatever I'm dealing with, I just leave it on the stage. That's my refuge. That's why I go to just, like I say, let go and let God. Because I don't hide anything. I don't, you know, it doesn't matter what environment I'm singing in. I let them know who made this possible.
Mm-hmm. Absolutely. And you were speaking, I thought about, one scripture said, be ye also ready. So that means when I think of that, whatever God has for you, you just got to be ready at all times. You can't be fumbling around trying to figure out what you're going to do. You just got to be ready. When he say move, you got to be ready. You just got to be ready. Mm-hmm. On every level, you have to be ready. Now, I'm reading this, and it says you performed with Frankie Beverly and Maze. I did see one of their concerts. Awesome. Probably the first time I ever saw them in concert. I was at a very older age. What is that like?
Well, that story there is so incredible because the first major concert my dad took me to was a Budweiser Superfest headlining Frankie Beverly and Maze, Stephanie Mills, Christopher Williams, and the Gap Band. And I'll never forget, my dad was, you know, getting ready to leave. It was a Sunday, I think, or Saturday. And he said, hey, go get dressed and take me to this concert. And he told me who it was. And I'm like, no, I don't want to see those old people. You know, I'm young. Like, I don't want to see that. When I went to that show and saw, when they hit that stage, how they commanded and everyone stood up and danced for 2 hours straight while this man performed, I was like, I really want to do this. And for me to be on stage with him, it's just incredible. And my dad was able to see that. He was able to see, and that just meant so much to me. Like, I took him to see this group and got him started in this. Now my son's on stage with them. And so that really, really meant a lot to me.
Always
for him to be able to see
that. Fantastic show. Mm-hmm.
And I want, I love the longevity of it.
Yes. It's amazing how they can still sing their songs, and they've been out forever. But it gives the audience in such a a nice, it's, to me, it's like feel-good music. It's not over the top.
Mm-hmm.
It's not a whole lot of curse words. It's just chill.
It's real.
Music. So, yes.
It's real.
Yes.
And that timeless, yes. That's timeless music. And that's, you know, I've been working on that for the longest because I always said I'm not going to allow Hollywood and, you know, the powers that be to change me because I know who I am and whose I am. And I tell people, when you go to L.A. and all these places and people, you know, my business partner and best friend is Kimberly. She played Kimberly Reese on Different World, Charnell Brown. She played the pre-med student. Told me, she said, now, when you go out here, don't believe the hype. Do what you got to do. Take your butt home and, you know, stay humble, stay low-key. And I always said it because my dad would always tell me, don't let anybody BS you. Don't let them BS you. Know who you are. And I always thought about it when I would go out to events or just be in situations where I'm like, wow, all this is so accessible for me to get caught up. But I had to keep in mind how I was raised, and I have two brothers looking up to me. So all of that was, you know, instilled in me to be aware and understand what's going on.
That's great. That is so fantastic. I applaud you for your obedience. It makes a difference because
you
never know who, looking at you, I'm always quick to say to my younger son, it creates a domino effect when someone
right.
is watching you and emulating you. And I know we shouldn't put anyone on a pedestal, but our mistake can affect so many people because you just
right.
never know. And they're dependent on you to walk the straight and narrow, to do what is right, to to have good morals. You never know. And children, they emulate adults. They see, and what they see in you very well could be how they would like to be. It could go either way.
Right.
They may see this, I don't like to use the term gangbang, but they might see someone doing something the opposite, and they glorify that. That's how they want to be. They may see someone actually, you know, living a good life and have very good morals, and they want to emulate that. So you have to be careful either way.
Right.
You just have to be careful because you just never know.
Yeah. I tell kids, because I work with kids on the side, I'm always mentoring and coaching and, you know, doing what I can to make sure that this next generation understands that you have to put in work. No one is going to give you anything. Everything that you see on TV, because that's how they're targeting this next generation with the social media and TV and all these kids thinking they can just make it quick. I'm like, you get out of life what you put in it. You reap what you sow. And I break it down as simple as possible. If I give you, or you give me $20, all you can get back from me is 20. You can't get 21. You can't get $20.05. All you can get is $20 back. And I tell them, you put in the work, it's going to pay off. It's going to pay off. In some form or fashion, God always, and, you know, I go through it a lot because I'm very, I get impatient sometimes and I get antsy. But, again, my mom, Andre, just pray and know that God got you. And it's like every time I get down on myself, he reminds me because, well, he'll say, hey, this is what I want you to do. I still got you. But know that where you're going, much is given, much is required. Because you're not just doing this for you. I want you to do this so you can bless others. And the longer I've been in here, I understand what it's about now. It ain't about me. Not about
absolutely.
Me. Glorifying him and letting everyone know that, hey, he made this possible. And until we acknowledge that, we're going to keep going in circles. And that's what I have to understand. As long as I keep fighting it and not allowing God to do what he's supposed to do, I'm going to keep going in circles. He's going to give me the desires of my heart. But I have to be obedient and say, you know what, let me just sit back and allow things to happen the way they're supposed to. And that's been my biggest
absolutely.
Challenge.
Absolutely. Absolutely. I think we all go through that at some point. We have to really hold fast to it. You know, I think about the scripture in the Bible says, tree, this planet. We have to really remain planted. You know, the tree, the wind blows, it might bend a little, sway a little.
Right.
It's not going to break. And as long as you hold fast and stand still and be like the tree planted by the rivers of water, you will definitely, definitely, it's good. I mean, it will get hard. It will get difficult at times. But if you can just remain faithful and stay in the face of God and be really true, you know, true, really, really true. And I guess I'm preaching to my own self, you know, and just stand fast and hold tight. And, you know, God got you. He got us.
Mm-hmm.
He got us. Mr. Andre, it's been my pleasure having you on the show. So our time is coming to a close. If you don't mind, you know, just sharing our listening audience how they may connect with you. When is your next play? Musical, okay. What you have going on, when is that going to happen? You can share that again.
Well, right now, again, I just want to thank you, Miss Nickelberry, correct? Am I pronouncing that right?
Yes. Mm-hmm.
Yes, I just want to thank you for having me. But you can reach me at Andre Petrie on Instagram. Everything is, all my social media is Andre Petrie Music. And that's A-N-D-R-E-P-I-T-R-E and music all together. I have a play coming up in October called Creeps and Silly Women, which will be in Dallas, Texas, October 31st. At the, I was just looking at the flyer, at the Dallas Arena. The Music Hall at the Fair Park. Currently working on an album. Just completed a single called Curious, and we're almost done shooting a video. Pretty much 90% done with it. So all of this stuff will be out soon. It's produced by Victor Fast Clark. He's out of Dallas, Texas. Incredible, incredible. This guy is just a plethora of just everything. You know, words can't describe how incredible this guy is. He produces. He's a choreographer. He does everything. So God bless me to work with him for the last 2 months, and it's been incredible. And like I said, the play Creeps and Silly Women is going to be a national tour in the spring. I have a few movie projects that my partner and I are working on, Chanel Brown, and then the album. So I'm going to be pretty much busy, and I try to stay busy, you know, as busy as possible. Just doing what, you know, God gave me the talents to do. So be on the lookout for a lot of stuff, movies, plays, and music, Andre Petrie.
Oh. Great. I will have to. I do like stage plays, and I'm not sure if Tyler has this one. I Don't Want to Do Wrong. I've not seen that one. So I'm,
well, it's available at Walmart, Target. I don't know if it's on Netflix or anything yet, but you can pick it up. Because when it came out,
okay,
I went and bought a whole bunch of them.
Okay.
So
I would definitely have to check that out. I will definitely have to do that. Well, Mr. Petrie, once again, it's been my pleasure having you on OPM Live Blog Talk Radio, and wishing you well, wishing you blessings, and that you will be covered by the blood of Jesus. So we thank you so very much for each and everything that you do and your work that you do with children.
Thank you so much. Thank you for having me.
Thank you. I appreciate it.
Okay. Bye-bye.
We would like to thank all of our sponsors, B. Marshall Enterprise, Southern Egypt Music Group, and the Next Dimension and Marketing. Leaving you with this coming from Psalms 23, King James Version of the Bible. The Lord is my shepherd, I shall not want. He maketh me to lie down in green pastures. He leadeth me beside the still waters. He restoreth my soul and leadeth me in the path of righteousness for his name's sake. Yea, though I walk through the valley of the shadow of death, I will fear no evil, for thou art with me. Thy rod and thy staff, they comfort me. Thou preparest a table before me in the presence of mine enemies. Thou anointest my head with oil, my cup runneth over. Surely goodness and mercy shall follow me all the days of my life, and I will dwell in the house of the Lord forever. And We leave with our closing song, Release the Sound, by Mr. John Murray. This has been OPM Live, Blog Talk Radio. I am your host, Bernadine Nickelberry, and be blessed.
We sanctify.
We
unify.
We lift your praises.
Beyond the sky.
We sacrifice.